Would you say it's good to be in the house of the Lord? Would you amen that? It is a great blessing to be here. Very thankful for each and every one of you for your desire to come and worship the Lord. Something that the folks of this country so often take for granted. It's very easy to not attend to gathering yourself. What the Bible teaches us to do. And may God bless you to continue to worship Him in spirit in your lives. A couple of Sundays ago, when I was preaching out of John chapter 3 and verse 16, I began by making a statement, and I would like to talk about that for just a moment out of the book of Acts, the 8th chapter of Acts, when Philip was sent by the Spirit down to a man, a eunuch. And when Philip came to the eunuch, he said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" Now, I made a point in that message of, do you understand what you believe? I believe it's critical. You know, oftentimes in our lives, we believe something because mom and dad, grandpa and grandma, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so has told us this throughout our lives. But do you understand the truth that you believe because you understand what the Word of God says? There's a great difference. But I believe that pertains to any truth. And Brother Darrell and myself were talking this morning about what a difference it'd be if God's people attained to God's Word on a daily basis, studied God's Word, really applied it to their lives, really understood what God meant to make an application in the very lives that we live. I've wondered about that myself, you know. Do we understand the Word of God? Do we want to understand the Word of God? We're told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and I believe it's verse 5, that the gospel came not in word only, but in power. We know that the gospel does not give spiritual life. In no way does it give spiritual life. But the Bible teaches us there's a power in the Word of God. What is that power? It's the power to transform your life, your way of thinking. It's a power to help you meet all the difficulties, all the challenges, all the sorrow, all the disappointments, all the heartbreaks, and even all the good times that you encounter in your journey in this life. We're all going to encounter those things. But if we don't understand what the Lord says, and we don't take what God teaches us and apply it to our lives, we're not going to wake up one morning and all those things just come to happen to us. We're not going to be able to buy a bottle of pills and take a pill and all those things come about. The Word of God was given to us for a purpose, that we might be thoroughly furnished in all areas of our lives, to thoroughly furnished unto all good works, that it might give us the answers to the problems that we have in life, the encounters that we come upon, the challenges we face. And friends, I'm here to tell you, every one of us will face them. Not a one of you here today is exempt from those difficulties. So if you need change in your life, if you don't like the way things have been in the past, I encourage you to make a change in your life, to study and to read God's Word and to make application of God's Word. Without it, you're going to be right where you are, running in place, going nowhere. Because that is the power of God's Word to transform your lives. It is my prayer today that you would come with an open heart and receive the Word of God. You know, in Acts chapter 17, we were told in verse 11 about some fellows called Bereans. And we're told that they were more noble than those Thessalonians, those at Thessalonica. Why were they more noble? The word noble there means generous. They were generous in the fact that they were attentive to listen to Paul and Silas when they came into the synagogue and preached. Now, the first thing you understand by that 11th verse was they didn't necessarily take what Paul or Silas preached at face value, but they were very receptive. They had an open heart and a willing mind to hear the Word of God preached. That is my prayer for everyone here today. We all have problems. We all have difficulties. We all have challenges. And if we don't look to God to answer these problems, to help fix these problems, to deal with these problems, to understand that God's grace is sufficient for every problem that we have, even in the good things or the bad things, it is sufficient for thee, then it's going to be hard to go through this journey in life and to grow, to change, and to not be in the same place we are today. What's on my mind today is happiness. You know, you probably have not heard a lot of sermons preached on happiness, but I believe that it is something that is vital to us as we live here in this life. You know, we can live here and we can live miserably and unhappy. We can live in this life and truly be happy. Either way is not going to affect whether you go to heaven or not, because your home in heaven was secured by the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was not laid at your feet. You can live through this life, in this world, in this period between death or between birth and death, and you can be miserable and unhappy, or you can be happy, and either way, it's not going to affect where you go to heaven and live in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not. Now, as we think about happiness, I believe it's a state of mind. I believe that happiness is not something that we can measure by the things we obtain in this world. Unfortunately, many people will tell you that money can't buy happiness, but I'll assure you they're out spending what they have, buying what they can, trying to bring happiness into their life. Now, we're not talking about just any old happiness. I'm talking about true happiness. You know, every one of us here, I'm sure, have had moments of happiness. We've had seasons of happiness. When your first child was born, I'm sure you were excited and you were happy. But true happiness is not being happy one day, angry, upset, miserable, and unhappy the next 3 days. It's not being happy for a week, miserable and unhappy for 2 weeks. The one who is truly happy is the one, I believe, that is focused in on the Lord Jesus Christ 24/7, every hour and every waking day of his life. You might say, well, that's difficult to do. Well, you know, anything that is worthwhile doesn't come easy, does it? If it's worth having, it's not going to be something that you obtain real easy. Most people would like to wake up one morning and everything that's wrong in their life just vanish away. Most people believe that if I had this in my life, if I had this much money in my bank account, if I owned this house, if this person would do things just according to the way that I see it, my way's the right way, then I would be happy. But if you base your happiness on the fact that somebody's got to do what you think is right, according to your ways, I can assure you today, you will never, ever have true happiness in your life. Because you're never going to have everything go your way. People are not always going to see eye to eye with you. And therefore, true happiness will certainly and assuredly escape you during your life. Now, there are many definitions of true happiness, and I want to read one. It says, it is a mental or an emotional state of well-being, characterized by positive or pleasant emotions ranging from contentment to intense joy. I believe that's as good a definition as I have ever read. There are some synonyms that you find which mean the same thing as happiness, and that's contentment. That's one of them. Satisfaction. Jubilation, which means to shout with joy, and peace of mind. Have you ever thought about peace of mind being the same as happiness? The Bible teaches us a lot about being peaceful in our minds and being peaceful here in the world. When I talk this morning about money or material objects or other things in this world, it's not that we can't have the blessing of those things in our life, but it's when we are not focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ that these things lead us astray. They become our focus and they become our problems in life. You know, I want to give you a couple examples. First of all, a couple of years ago, I made my first trip to the Philippines, and last year I made another. And I've spent a month over there in my lifetime, and the rest of this time has been spent here in the United States of America. Most of what I know and what I've seen in the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, I know from being raised in the church here and going to church here and attempting to preach the gospel. But I got to see another side of things when I was able to make this trip. But I want to mention one other example before I move into that. A couple of nights ago, me and Sister Suzanne were watching the news, and I forget which station it was. Some of you may have seen this. They were interviewing a man that worked for Goodwill. And what got the attention of this man, he had worked there for over 20 years, and his mentality was not at a high level, you might say. He wasn't unable to do things. He wasn't unable to take care of himself, but he wasn't on the higher end of the totem pole, you might say, in as far as mental capacity. But this man continuously smiled. I mean, it was just never-ending when he was working. He was a janitor, had worked at Goodwill for 23 years, I believe, over 20. And he smiled. He smiled at everyone that come in. And my wife told me, said, that, you know, someone like that does the heart good, and it does. To see someone that's literally happy. This man had probably not the mental capacity of any of us here in this congregation. Yet this man truly appeared, or at least manifest, that he was truly happy. You know, someone might say, well, you know, if he had our mental capacity, the ability to have a higher paying job and to do more things out in the world, then he would understand how I'm stressed out and how I'm unhappy and how things are not the way I want them to be. I ask you, who would be better off? The man with lesser mentality, who is happy doing what he can do, enjoying his life, or us who are out here trying to obtain all the things that the world has to offer? Now, it is my hope this morning that you receive this message in a positive way, and that it will do each and every one of us some good. This man truly appeared to be happy. I mean, he couldn't stop smiling. And you know, smiling is an indication of a happy person. Laughter is good for the soul. And there's a lot of indications or characteristics that go along with someone who is truly happy. Complaining is not a characteristic. An unthankful heart is not a characteristic. Those folks may have seasons or moments of happiness. But true happiness will always bring about, in my belief, a moderate amount of happiness, even when you stand in before the greatest challenge in your life. Whatever that challenge may be, whether it's the loss of a loved one, the loss of a job, whatever that may be, if you're focused in on the Lord Jesus Christ and God becomes your happiness, it'll make all the difference in the world. It really will. Now, the other example that I want to use is about the Philippines. The reason I bring this example is not about those folks, it's about what I observed. As I went over there, there's no question that I was taught more by them than I could ever teach them. They taught me more. And most of this was by observation. You know, so many of us in this world believe that if we had a new house, a new car, if I lived over here in this part of the country, or we've got a list of all kinds of things, if this person that I work for would just do things exactly as I see them, the way that I think they ought to be done, I'd be happy. On and on goes the list of the reasons that we give to be happy, the circumstances. Well, when I went to the Philippines, I noticed, and I've told you this before, they had none of the everyday things that we have in life. I mean, the comforts of life, they don't have. But the thing that stood out to me, and it stands out to me every time I've went, is those people, how happy they are. They have a happiness that I don't see here. I'll never forget, when I got back from my first trip, I called Elder Darrell Chambers, and I said, things are so different here in America. The people are not excited. They don't seem to be zealous. And he said, that's what every minister that's went over there says. So that told me that I wasn't the only one that got this picture. And I'm not here to compare us to them. I'm just here to tell you what I observed. If circumstances was the reason for your mentality for being happy or unhappy, then I'll tell you right now, they should be the most miserable and unhappy people over there that I ever encountered. And we should be the most happy people that ever lived on the face of the earth. But you know, it doesn't seem to be that way. Unfortunately, I find the misery over here in the United States, where we've had all these things and been blessed immensely. And I find a people over there who seem to be far happier. So that told me that the circumstances of life, whatever they might be, is not the reason for your happiness or unhappiness. People will tell you that I know money can't buy happiness. I know I can't go out and earn it. But I think, again, they continue to search out for happiness in things. So we have these examples. I believe circumstances have nothing to do with whether you're happy or you're unhappy. You know, the woman who threw two mites into the treasury, I believe she was a happy woman. She done all she could do. She was happy to help out in whatever way she could. You know, happiness is a state of mind. It comes from the heart. The Lord said it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. It is a happier time in a person's life to be able to give something to someone than it is to receive something. We've kind of got that backwards in the United States of America. But I believe that truth stands today just as it stood when it was written in God's Word. See, I believe that if you're ever going to be happy in this life, it's going to be by serving Jesus Christ and others. You know, Brother George used to take a word and he would tell you what the word meant, and the word was joy. Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. Unfortunately, in America, yourself has become first most of the time. With a lot of folks, I know it has with me many times in my life. And Jesus and the others were down on the list pretty far, but Jesus was not first for many days in my life. But I believe if you're truly going to be happy as you journey through this life, as you set your sail upon the ocean we call life, you must always focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not the circumstances that determine or dictate whether you're happy or unhappy. It's your attitude about those circumstances. I'm going to tell you the difficulties of life come to everyone. And anyone that's sitting here that don't believe that are deceiving themselves, and the truth's not in them. We've all faced problems. We've all faced difficulties. We've all had challenges. We've all had sorrow in our life. But happiness is not obtained by worldly things. It's not dictated by your circumstances. I can tell you right now, you can take two individuals that are going through exactly the same situation, circumstances, and it's amazing how one of them, even though they both have pain or suffering or difficulty, one of them may pause for a little bit, but by the grace of God, he goes on or she goes on with their life, and the other's life is destroyed or altered forever. It happens. And I believe it's because our focus is in the wrong place. The psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Thy word, the word of God, the power of God's word to transform our lives is not going to happen unless you diligently, earnestly read it, study it, and then apply it to your life. If you're not happy with where you are, change is not going to happen by itself. I can't change you. No one else can. You can change yourself, and you're the only one you can change. You may want to change folks' lives. You know, I know in my life there's a lot of folks' lives I'd like to change. But honestly, I can't do anything to change their lives. I can pray for them. I can encourage them, and I encourage you to do that. But we really can't change the way they think, the way they act, or what they do. So the question we have before us is, can true happiness be attained in this life? I heard a man tell me that you can be happy in spirit and miserable in the flesh. I suppose that's possible, and I'll tell you why. I've had people tell me that they'd be glad when the Lord come back. Now, I don't want to take away from that statement, because I don't think there'll ever be a greater day on this earth than when the Lord Jesus Christ returns and gathers us up and takes us home. But oftentimes when a person makes that statement, it's because they're living a miserable, unhappy life. And they see that as the end to all their problems and all their difficulties, because they're not happy in the Lord. They're not happy with life. Circumstances have overwhelmed them. And oftentimes when we get into this condition, we determine in our own minds that no one else has dealt with life or the circumstances of life as we have. And here's the thing about it. If you start digging into that person's life and you begin to see their unhappiness, you'll find that at the bottom line, they're blaming God. They won't stand up and say God is at fault, but the Bible tells us that our circumstances do not dictate whether we're truly happy or not. And I believe that's a fallacy that many of us had. I know I've had. We all think if we just had a little bit more, or we could just get where we wanted to be, we'd be happy. But I heard a preacher of another order say that if you wasn't happy where you are, it's unlikely you'll ever get to where you want to go. If you're not happy with a little, you won't be happy with a lot. The Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, he said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Do you know that contentment is a synonym of happiness? It means self-satisfaction. Are we content? Notice what Paul did not say. Paul didn't say, well, this is the best that I can do. I might as well throw in the towel. I can't do anymore. This is the way it's going to be. I just determined I might as well be happy right where I'm at. He didn't say that, did he? The Apostle Paul said, I've learned that where I'm at and what I have, I'm in a state of happiness. I'm content. And if you're happy with a little, I believe you'd be happy with a lot, if the Lord blessed an open door of opportunity for you to have that. But if we're not happy where we're at, it's unlikely we're going to get anywhere in this life. If we're not happy with a little, we won't be happy with a lot. Many of you know a preacher by the name of Charles Spurgeon. He's dead now. He was called the Prince of Preachers in England. He was associated with a particular Baptist, which believed in particular redemption. But he made a lot of quotes. He was born in 1834. He died in, I believe, 1892. He was 58 years old, close to the age, my age, and the age of some others here. But he made a statement that has stood out to me. He said, and I quote him, if you're not content with what you have, now listen to this. If you're not happy with what you have, you would not be satisfied if it were doubled. Now that goes against the carnal thoughts, doesn't it? Most everybody thinks in this world, if I just had more, I'd be happy. But happiness is a state of mind. If you're truly happy, you can be happy wherever God has placed you and with whatever God has given to you at that time. Paul didn't say that I've got to stay here the rest of my life in this spot, that I have no room for growth, that God will never open another door of opportunity. He just said, I've learned. And I want you to understand something. He learned. He didn't take an aspirin that made him happy. He didn't pull off an apple off of a tree and eat it. He didn't wake up one morning. He said it was going to take some effort on his part to learn some things. Have you learned to be happy right where you are with what you have? Or do you spend your days concerned about where you think you want to be and with what you would like, think you would like to have? What I'm telling you is, if you're not happy with a little, you're not going to be happy with a lot. I think the Bible even teaches that, and we'll go there in just a few minutes to Luke chapter 12. I'm telling you, happiness is not measured by the things of this world. A person that's happy, as this man that was interviewed on TV, can be as happy as anybody that lived upon the earth and have as little as anybody that lived upon the earth. When we learn to be happy with what we have, it's only then, in my opinion, that we'll be happy with more. But that begins by focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ, understanding that the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. You know, no matter what you have today, how much or how little, God has been good to you. The goodness of God is manifest in your lives. I don't care what your financial position is in this world. You can find folks, I'll assure you, that are far worse off than you are. We measure ourselves by others. But true happiness is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said this is something that we need to learn. It's not something that happens overnight. But I believe it is something that we must learn. It means we must put forth some effort. It's not just going to happen. If we don't put forth the effort, you can't expect the change. You know, the gospel came not in word only, but in power. And the power of the gospel is to take the preached word of God, the read word of God, and apply it to your life. That's the transformation that'll come. It's not going to happen if you don't apply it. The Bible tells us what it takes to have a happy marriage. You can't go 180 degrees from the pattern that God set up and expect your marriage to be happy. If you're going to have a happy marriage, your focus must be upon the Lord. If you want a good relationship with your children, you need to follow the pattern that God set forth in His Word. We need to hide God's Word in our heart, because the challenges of life are going to come to each and to every one of us. Contentment. It is something that we need to learn. But I tell you what, it's not an easy lesson to learn, is it? Especially here. It's probably harder here because we've had so much. We're a people in want, even though we've been so fulfilled with so many, or filled with so many things. Because we've been blessed immensely. You know, you may feel that you have not been blessed as much as some other person. And that's where we miss the mark so often, is it not? We measure things against others, what they have and what we'd like to have. But there, when you find happiness in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll find that these other things don't mean a whole lot. You know, David said in the end of his days, he said, "I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness." You know, there's coming a day that you're going to be satisfied, whether you are or not now. And you're going to be eternally happy in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that the person who lives, the child of God who lives upon this earth that is miserable and unhappy, is going to get the same blessing as the person who lives his entire life truly happy? You know, some people have the idea that those who are miserable and unhappy will appreciate heaven more than that person who lives his life happy. That's not true. I'll tell you, any of us who enter into glory are going to be eternally happy in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not going to be any difference. That's just how we justify our state of life here upon this earth. It surely is. Happiness is something that needs to be a choice. You choose to be happy, but that takes more than just the choice. It means implementing or applying God's truth to your life. Paul said there's some things that we must learn. Are you learning them? Is life going along? Is your marriage, your family, your church, your job, everything that you deal with? Are you happy out there? Are you truly happy? Do you see the Lord in the matter? When you play the game of life, as it were a football game, is the Lord on the bench? Is He a part-time player or is He a full-time player in your life? If you want to truly be happy, I'm going to tell you, you can't call upon the Lord when you're deep in the valley, when things are really going bad and you're losing the game, and expect Him to come off the bench and to fix all your problems. If you don't walk with the Lord day in and day out, hand in hand, as that song says, don't expect the Lord to get you out of all the ruts. When He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee," He didn't say, "I'll remove every problem you have." He said, "I'll give you the grace necessary to get through the trouble." He didn't remove the thorn in Paul's side, did He? But He gave him what was necessary to deal with it and to move on. You know, I think about this, and we'll talk about it in just a minute when we go to John chapter 16, verse 33. But I want to think about John chapter 10 and verse 10. We've heard that quoted time and time again. Jesus said, "I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." Well, some people will argue that that speaks of eternal life. I don't believe this verse is talking about eternal life. It very well may embrace it, but it's not what Jesus was talking about, because in the beginning of the verse, He talks about a thief who is able to kill and to steal and to destroy. Well, I can tell you right now, if you believe like old Baptists believe, no one can steal your eternal life, because it's kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last day. We're preserved in Jesus Christ. It can't be stolen. It can't be taken away. Jesus even talks about those who have the ability to kill the body, but He said, "Fear him who has power over the spirit and the soul." They may kill our bodies. They may kill this tabernacle of clay. But I tell you right now, they can never steal or take away. What is it that's being talked about then? I believe that if you allow this to happen, any hope of happiness, true happiness that you have in this life, can be stolen by the thief, taken away and destroyed. You can live unhappy and miserable. You can tell yourself every day, "Things have happened to me that don't happen to anyone else. They just don't understand." Folks, that's not true either. Most people do understand. It's their attitude toward these circumstances, not that they've never faced them. Every one of us have faced death. I tell you, you can take two individuals who had to deal with the loss of a loved one in their life. One person, it will nearly destroy and alter their life forever. And the other person, in a given amount of time, they're all going to mourn. It's all a problem. But in a given amount of time, by the grace of God, they go on. All their happiness and all their joy is not robbed from them. This is what the thief can do. This is the desire of Satan, is to remove all the joy you have in the Lord if possible. He can't kill you. He can't take your life. Because Jesus Christ has already won the victory when he finished the work that he came to do, when he stood in your room instead at the cross of Calvary, and he paid the debt that you and I could not pay. He secured your home in heaven. No one can steal it. No one can take it away. So is it possible to live every day of your life truly happy? I believe it is. But if Jesus Christ is not in focus when you get out of bed in the morning, when you go to bed at night, if you don't talk to the Lord during the day, I don't think you're ever going to have true happiness in your life. You're going to be beaten down and conquered by the difficulties of life. Now, I tell you this, not knowing whether you're in that condition or not, or whether you'll take God's word and we will apply it. Brother Darrell made a point this morning, I just thought, he said, how much better would this country be in this world if people read God's word and really applied it to their lives as they went through life every day? Isn't it amazing we have the absolute truth of Almighty God, who has never failed to keep a promise that he promised, and yet so often we deter to man to fix our problems. We don't seek the Lord's help. And even in happiness, we seek it in every area. We're searching for happiness in all the wrong places. True happiness is only going to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, over in Luke 12, and for time's sake, I'll just mention that for a moment. We all know the story of the rich man. He was already rich. God was blessing him, and his cup runneth over. You know, he got to a point, and he stopped, and he thought within himself, what am I going to do? That right there tells me that what the problem of that rich man was. We're told over in the 14th chapter, I believe, of Proverbs, in verse 21, that the man that hath mercy on the poor, that man is a happy man. You know, I'm going to tell you right now, if you want to find true happiness in your life, it's serving the Lord and others. If you can't displace yourself, you're never going to find true happiness. That's what was wrong with the man in Luke 12. His focus was on self. Jesus Christ told us in Matthew 16 and verse 24, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What about the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10? When he claimed he had met all the commandments, and Jesus said, you lack us one, sell all that you have and give it to the poor. And that man walked away sad. You see, he measured happiness by all the things that he had obtained in this life, and yet he walked away sad. The man in Luke 12, all he was concerned about was what was he going to do with all the things that God had continued to bless him with. And he was going to tear down his barns, and that tells me that he wasn't looking out for the poor, for the needy, for the widows, because he was focused on himself. If you're going to find true happiness, it's by serving others. And by serving first and foremost the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to take the remainder of my remarks for just a few moments from John chapter 16 and verse 33. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. You remember that peace of mind is a synonym of happiness? I believe every child of God truly yearns in his heart to have peace of mind. But so often, I believe, we're looking in the wrong places to find our peace, to find our rest. Jesus said, in this world ye shall have tribulations. He says here, first of all, there's no one exempt. In other words, we're going to face challenges. We're going to face circumstances of life. We're going to face heartache, disappointment. Sometimes our children disappoint us. Sometimes our brothers and sisters disappoint us. But I'm telling you, we all start in the same place, do we not? We're all born, come forth from our mother's womb. And this sea or this ocean that we're upon is life. It's our journey here in this life. You know, isn't it amazing how people start out at the same place, but so many times we end up in different locations? You know, we're told to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despising the shame and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We were his joy. He certainly ought to be our joy. And the Bible tells us, these things have I spoken to you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Jubilation, to shout for joy. That's a synonym of happiness. I tell you, you're not going to find happiness unless you do what the Lord says. You may have moments, you may have seasons, but you're going to have a lot of days of misery, unhappiness. Burdens are going to wear you down. You notice Jesus said, in this world ye shall have tribulations, and he didn't qualify them, did he? You know, as many of you know, I've lost loved ones in my life at an early age, and it was a very hard and difficult time. But I've also seen folks who've lost their jobs, gone through divorces, that suffered as much excruciating deep down inside them pain as I did. And I'm telling you, Jesus didn't qualify your trials. He didn't say, here's the worst, and this is the next, and this is the next. That's because if we hadn't walked in someone else's shoes, we don't have any idea what's going on inside of them. But the Lord knows. And the Lord knows that life without him is tough. He knows that we're going to sail upon the sea of life. Think about the disciples when the Lord walked to them up on the water. The boisterousness of the storm. See, all of us set sail on this same ocean. We all begin at the same place, and the storms of life come to every one of us. Not a one of us are exempt. Jesus didn't say, well, there's a few over here that won't ever have a problem. You know, sometimes we get that idea. It's because we don't know them folks very well. As the pastor of the church, I've come to understand that there's a lot more problems out there than a lot of people are aware of. But we're all going to face some storms. And it just found great interest to me to know that Jesus didn't qualify them. How many people in their own minds believe what they're dealing with is worse than what their brother's dealing with, their sister's dealing with, their neighbor's dealing with? Somebody in life is dealing with a problem and they don't have any clue to what their problem is. Friends, we face the circumstances of life, every one of us, at different times and in different ways. But it brings about the same degree of difficulty. And it's only by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ are we able to go forth. Are we able to get through those storms? You know, some people will take up residence in a trial. Excuse me. And it's not long in that trial till all of a sudden there springs up a root of bitterness. Maybe we'll preach on that one day. Bitterness poisons every bit of the being of an individual. They're bitter at everyone. They don't have any happiness. They don't have any joy. Bitterness is a terrible thing. And it's something many of us have faced in our lives. And it's a difficult thing. But then you'll see someone else faced with the same trial. And even though they mourn or they have difficulty, by the grace of God, they're able to put one foot in front of the other and go on. I'm telling you, happiness is a choice. You got to decide you want to be happy. And then you got to study God's Word and apply God's Word to your life. If you want a happy marriage, one that lasts from now on, one that is truly happy, then Jesus Christ has to be the focus of that marriage. You may think it has to be your wife or your husband. I'm not telling you, if you think that, you got your focus in the wrong place. It doesn't mean that you don't love them and care for them. Yes, they need to be second on the list, but Jesus needs to be first. When you go to the workplace, you may not like the people you work for. You may not like the way that they treat you, but do you serve them as unto the Lord? Do you wake up in the morning looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith? Do you talk with the Lord through the day? Lord, help me. Lord, direct my path. Show me what you'd have me to do. You know, when Paul went down the road to Damascus, he said, Lord, who art thou? What will thou have me to do? Do you wake up in the morning and say, Lord, what will thou have me to do? What direction would you have me to take? What doors might you open that I can go through and minister unto God's people? Lord, walk with me hand in hand today. You know, God made a promise to every one of us, didn't he? He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that you may boldly say the Lord is your helper. You know, the Lord's near you every day. You may be a million miles from the Lord, but he's right beside you. He's near you. He's never going to forsake you because he promised it, and he's never broke a promise that he made. So I encourage you today to understand that true happiness can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we continue to search for happiness out in this world, you're not ever going to find it. You're not truly going to find it. You may be happy at moments during seasons of your life, but if you want true happiness, it's always focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ first and foremost every day of your life. Throughout the day, some people say, well, I'm too busy. No, you're not too busy. It's like someone saying, well, I can't pray to the Lord. You know, we have rules and regulations in our government now that tells you you can't offer up public prayer in certain places. But do you know that there's not a person in the United States or in this world that can stop you from praying? You can pray to God anytime you want to pray to God. His door is open 24/7. No one can stop you from praying. No one can stop you from talking to God from time to time as you make your daily journey in life, at your workplace or whatever you're doing. Lord, help me. You know, there was a prayer in the Bible, Lord, help me. And I know, Lord, I need the Lord's help every day. May God bless us to look unto Him. If we want to see changes in our lives and in our country, if we truly want to be happy, if we're not searching for it in Jesus Christ, I'll assure you, you're never going to find it. It's through Him and by Him that we receive true happiness in our families, in our marriages, in our church, and in this world. Those brethren in the Philippines proved one thing to me, that the things of this world don't bring happiness. It's not the consequences of life, because we have much more than they have, and we seem to have less happiness here than they have over there. So that was a great teacher to me. You know, sometimes when you live somewhere a long time and you've never been anywhere else, you assume a lot of things. You assume the whole world is somewhat like where you live. I tell people a lot of times the world to me is about 200 miles in any direction from here, because that's where I spent the vast majority of my life. Doesn't matter what you've seen on TV or what you've read, it just doesn't affect you like it would being there and spending time there. So it is my prayer that you receive this, and if you're not truly happy day in and day out, search out God's Word, apply it to your life. Don't just talk about it. Let it be powerful in your life to transform your life. That's what the Word of God, when it comes to you in power, will do. It will transform your life, your thinking, your position, where you're at. It can transform your marriage if your marriage has not got the happiness in it that it needs. But that's where it begins. Make a choice to be happy. Then study out God's Word and apply it to your life. May God bless you is my prayer this morning.